for each and every one of you. You know, we've been speaking on the importance of love. The importance of love. And, you know, it's important to have love. It's important to know how that you were loved beyond our wildest imagination. We're loved. And God will never stop loving us. Amen. But you know what? I was laying in bed, and I was waking up. The commander in chief spoke. Praise God. I got my marching orders a little bit different. Amen. So praise God. I had something that I wanted to teach, but guess what? I'm gonna teach what my daddy wants. Amen. I'm the under shepherd, but he's the chief shepherd. Amen. So can he change our plans? Amen. Praise God. Amen. And I'm gonna be obedient to my daddy. Now we're still talking about love. Amen. Love is the principal thing. It's the chief thing. In fact, our faith won't work without love. But you know what? I got back with Pastor Abraham. He's back in the States. And we went out and witnessed and laid hands on the sick. Now, Friday, I was at Save-A-Lot. And I was in the grocery store, and there was a guy it was a young man. His name was Anthony. I found his name was Anthony. He had a cast on his arm. And I went to him and walked over to him, and I said, "Hey, young man, what's wrong with your arm?" He said, I fell and I chipped my thumb and it was a broke bone and I have a cast on and everything. I said, "You in any pain?" He said, "Yeah, I have pain. So I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm going to go see my doctor and he's going to, you know, give me something else." And I guess he was on pain pills or whatever. But I say, "Okay, I'm sorry to hear that, young man." And then something on the inside of me, Pastor Abraham, I don't know if y'all know it, but Pastor Abraham, me and him go and Fridays and Saturdays and we go pray for the sick. And God miraculously, in 30 seconds or less, heals them. And so what happened is, through my carnal mind, I was saying, "Well, what if I'm not going to pray for him? Because what if he don't get healed? What if nothing happens?" And then I said, "No, I don't want to do that." And everything. And then I said, "Wait a minute. You're a dead man. You don't have no reputation. You're not the healer." So I was getting ready to go to the checkout line, and I went back, and I saw the young man is still in the store. And I said, "Young man, you got 30 seconds? He said, yes, sir, I got 30 seconds. And I said, "Let's move your buggy in here out the aisleway in case people need to go through. But you know what? I'm going to pray for you and command that pain to go." And I say, "What level is it from a 10 to a 0, and 10 being the highest?" He said, "What's it about a 7 or 8? He said, "I'm in excruciating pain." But I said, "Wouldn't it be a miracle if that pain went from an 8 level to a 0 level?" He said, yeah, I know. "It would be a miracle." I said, okay. Well, and, you know, and I did just like Jesus did. I didn't give no long prayers. I commanded the pain to go. And I prayed for him. And, in fact, a lot of times the Bible says we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I didn't even lay hands on him. You know, God, you can do a lot of things. And God's going to honor you if you honor him. Amen. So guess what? I didn't get the mothers of the church to come pray. No. Anthony was in the store then, okay? So I said, "Anthony, I'm going to go ahead and pray for that." And you know what? I prayed a simple prayer. I say, "Pain, I'm speaking to you now. In the name of Jesus, go." That was all I said. Spoke with authority. Because I'm, as a son of God and daughters of God, we all have authority, right? So I spoke with authority and I said, "Anthony, you don't know me. But be brutally honest. I want you to be honest. Test it out. What level of pain are you having right now?" And the reason we tell them to test it out, you know, tell them what level of pain, first so they have a frame of reference. Then they'll know if God healed them. So he said, "Well, it's less pain." And I said, "Oh, awesome, man. You know what? God loves you so much. But Jesus, you know what? He's not going to settle for a little bit of pain going. He wants it totally gone." So I said, "Can I pray for you again?" And he said, "Sure." I prayed for him. Same simple prayer. Pain, cartilage, tissue, connective tissue, anything associated with that injury he had, I command you to come in alignment with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is now. And it is not enticing words of men's wisdom, but it's in the demonstration of power. So I said, "Pain, go!" In Jesus' name. And I waited a second. And I said, "Okay, now Anthony, go ahead and test it out." And you know what he said? He said, "The pain is gone." And I say, "Praise God." I say, "Anthony, Jesus is the healer. He healed you. Do you know that? You know God loves you. God's not dead. He's alive today. And I said, do you know the Jesus that healed you? He said, oh yeah, I'm a believer. And I said, well, praise God. And I said, well, you're a believer like me. And then you know what he did? He shook my hand and thanked me for praying for him. Guess what? Right before I went to the check-in line, guess who called me? Pastor Abraham. Hey, Brother Maurice, I'm back. This is Friday because we're off on Friday. He said, can we go pray for the sick? I said, Pastor Abraham, let me tell you. Now, I told him what happened in the store, and I said, let me tell you something. You just got home, spend some time with your wife today, and then we'll go Saturday. So we went out praying for the sick Saturday. But he's so passionate about it that he really pushes me. He pushes me. So I thank God he's a friend. He pushed me. You know, if we want to get to the next level, we got to get, you know what, we can't hang around ordinary people. We can't hang around people that are that got less than what we got, less faith, less joy, less happiness, less tenacity, less gumption. You gotta hang around the big dogs. You know, if you're gonna stay on the porch, you ain't gonna stay on the porch, guess what? And do nothing, guess what? You'll be a lazy old dog, overweight and sleepy and grumpy and go to sleep. But you gotta get off the porch to hang with the big dogs that rule the roost, that rule the town. So guess what? You gotta do something, amen. Faith without works is dead, amen. So I thank God that we need to all have somebody that we see that can encourage us. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Amen. Guess what? Pastor Abraham will not let me go. You know what? Brother Maurice. I know we're going out Friday and Saturday. We're going to pray for the sick. Amen. And guess what? Even if they don't get healed, even if they die, that's not going to stop me. Amen. Because I know God is able. Amen. God is able. You know what? The enemy will try to discourage you from doing the work of God. And so enough about that, but I'm just going to tell you that guess what? Joy is complete. But I thank God for miracles. I thank God for healing Anthony. Amen. But you know what? I got to get back and preach the whole gospel. You know why? Because guess what? Right now, because I'm called to be a pastor, I'm in my highest level of fulfillment right now. Because I'm doing what God called me to do. Praise God. But you know, when I leave this, there's a man over me right now. And in fact, God is even speaking to me right now. And that's why preachers never want to get off the mic. People call them long-winded. Amen. Because it's so good you're walking in your destiny. And you have so much to give to people that you try to feed them all in one meal, right? You know, but you forget you got another Sunday coming up, right? So praise God. It's glorious. Amen. But when I leave, guess what? When I leave this microphone and y'all leave, guess what? I'm going to have to overcome the challenges I've had, guess what, by my own faith. And it's faith that's anointing that I feel right now. And it's good to feel God, amen? You know what? Even if I didn't feel God, I'm still going to serve him. But it's nice to know that sometimes you can feel your daddy, amen? You can, Holy Spirit can just stir up something on the inside of you. And it's good to be able to feel a God. We serve a living God, amen? And so, praise God. But even if I didn't feel him, I'm still going to serve him. But guess what? When I leave this podium, guess what? I got to walk by faith just like each and every one of you. Now, I've been through some challenges. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it doesn't stop there. If it stopped there, we could all just live on Grumble Alley and God, maybe you can bless me street. Amen. But no. But I'm not changing my address. Amen. I'm walking in the streets of glory. Amen. I'm sitting in the heavenly places, amen, right here, amen. See, we're not going to have no enemies in heaven, but we got enemies right now. Even in the presence of our enemies, he prepares a table before us. He doesn't kill our enemies, but he keeps them alive so they can see us being blessed, amen. That's how our daddy works, amen. But guess what? I've got to walk by faith. Now, I had some challenges. Can I be real? I went to go visit my daddy. I had some challenges, and I had some battles that I was going through. And guess what? I put the shield of faith on, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6. But guess what? When I came back, I had victory. But you know what I did? I came back. I got in that chair. I ate some dinner. I turned on the idiot TV. And watched it. I just want some mindless entertainment. I didn't turn it on the TV in. I said, Lord, I need a rest. But guess what? Guess what? The Lord let me know, look, son, you might think you have a couple of victories under your belt with me, but guess what? It's not the time to rest. You got to operate by faith. Everything you got from me, you got it by faith. The just shall live by faith. So guess what? I got to get back to the basics. Now, that whole day, did you know I didn't read my Bible? I didn't turn on the TV in. I just watched mindless entertainment. And sometimes you need some downtime, amen? But guess what? We never rest as children of God. We never rest. We never rest. The spirit man has to be felt. It has to be fed. You know what? I ate yesterday. Thank God for the food I ate yesterday. But guess what? If I don't eat for another week, this old body going to get tired. And my flesh going to start, hey, wait a minute now. You might know Jesus, but you got to feed us. The body's talking, right? Amen. So praise God. So what happened? Just because I ate yesterday don't mean I don't need to eat in the future. But you know what our spiritual man, you know what food is? The Word of God. The Word of God. The just shall live by faith. So everything that we get from God, it comes through the avenue of faith. Amen. Now does faith come by watching I Love Lucy? Now I love I Love Lucy. I laugh. The Bible said laughter is the medicine. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not heaping condemnation on it because you watch I Love Lucy. You know, I love it. When I want to laugh, I watch I Love. What's that episode where she was eating those chocolates? I think that's the funniest episode that I've ever seen. Yeah, it was really hilarious. So when I want to laugh, I watch that. But guess what? Guess what? Jesus, in the fifth chapter of Mark, Jesus had a lot of victories. A lot of victories praying for the sick and they were healed and everything. But he told his disciples, boys, we must go to the other side. We must go to the other side. Now, before he even got to the other side of the boat, there was a storm. Hey, daughter, how you doing? Before he even got to the other side, you know what the devil knew it was going to be a victory? It was going to be a victory on the other side when he crossed that sea and got out the boat. So Jesus, knowing that his father said, I must go to the other side. He told his disciples, boys, we must go to the other side. So guess what? He went and got in the bow of the boat and night, father, went to sleep. Now, then guess what? The devil knew what was going to happen. Because there's a demoniac man, a man that was full of legions, thousands of devils, and he needed to be delivered. Now, guess what? The devil did not want that to happen. So what the devil did, he created a storm. The Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air. But guess what? The disciples say, Master, do you care that we perish? And he said, boys, you're a little faith. But he spoke to the elements and the peace. And instantaneously, they had to obey. They had to obey. And it was like a sea of glass. It was a storm raging, but it was a sea of glass that was calm. When he got out of the boat, guess what? The man with evil spirits. He knew these evil spirits knew who he was, and he had just a nanosecond where he had a little bit of sanity, where he'd be able to see who Jesus was. He fell down and worshipped Jesus. He fell down and worshipped. Well, anyway, it was a great deliverance. So what I'm trying to say, when you had a victory, it's not time to take off the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, take off your gospel shoes, get in the easy chair, and say, okay, all is well. No, guess what? You got to prepare for the next offensive. Amen. The greatest defense is an offense. Amen. So you can't let your guard down. You had a victory. Thank God for the victory. But guess what? There's more opposition going to come. To whom much is given, much is required. So guess what? You had a victory, right? You went to Norway, came back, praise God. But guess what? You're back here in Jacksonville. Guess what? You got some people. You got some enemies. You got some enemies. You know, Apostle Paul was one of the greatest apostles that ever lived. He wrote over 3/3 of the New Testament. But guess what? When he you know what he did before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus? He killed Christians. He killed Christians, had them killed and everything. And guess what? So anyway, when he got converted, the religious folk, the apostles, they didn't want to have nothing to do with him. Oh, he killed. Oh, no, we don't trust him. So what he did, he went to Arabia and he studied and he learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. So guess what? They questioned his ability to be apostle. Because to be apostle, you had to be apostle of the Lamb. You had to have been live with Jesus. You had to have been taught with Jesus. And at the 3.5 years during his ministry, you had to walk with Jesus. Well, guess what? He was taught by Jesus Christ himself. He got it through visions, through dreams, and everything. In fact, he said, I know a man that died and saw things unlawful that I can't even speak, that they couldn't even speak about. He was talking about himself. He was stoned, left for dead, but he shook himself off and kept on living because it wasn't his time. So when he was dead, the Bible says, be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. When he was dead, he saw things up in heaven where God says, son, you need to go back. Your work is not finished. But he knew when it was finished. And then he even said, it's better for me to go and be with the Lord. But he said, it's more expedient that I stay because I need to teach you. I need to teach you. I need to impart what's in me. So guess what? He stayed until he was ready to go. Amen. So we all gonna have battles. But guess what? When anointing wanes, and we're not in the presence of God and everything, guess what? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So guess what? Everything that we get from God, we have to get by faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I have some things right now that I'm believing God for. Now, I know all of y'all are filled with the Spirit of God. You know, y'all can lay hands on me and pray that God deliver me. But guess what? God requires more of somebody that's mature in the faith than he does a baby. Do you remember when your children were young? And then in my generation, Cecilia even used cloth diapers and steamed them and washed them and everything. You know, and washed them out in cloth diapers. But now all y'all use is a Pampers, right? Can you imagine if when your baby was 3 months old or whatever, 4 months old, you didn't have any problem changing this pamper or her pamper whenever they messed in it, right? And you say, oh, well, praise God, they're learning. But, you would have an issue Junior, I'm going to say this. What is your youngest daughter, Sister Virginia? How old is she, your youngest daughter right now? Okay, now you would have an issue if your 22 daughter came up and said, Mama, I made a boo-boo in my, I need you to change me. I mean, 22 years old, you'd have a little issue with it. You say, wait a minute, you're 22 years old, you need to be able to take care of your own hygiene, you know what I'm saying? But if she was 2 months old, you wouldn't have a problem. But let's say she was 6 months old or whatever, she say, don't point that diaper, you need to be changed. You wouldn't have no problem with it. God's the same way. God's the same way. Certain things he's not going to do for us. You know why? Because he's already did everything that he's ever done. He said, I've given you my word. I want you to operate in faith. I want you to operate in faith. If I give you a miracle every time you go through a crisis, you won't be any good for me or the kingdom of God. Praise God. Hey! Praise God. But through faith and perseverance, you inherit the promises of God. Amen? So you got to do it. You got to have... In fact, in Hebrews, it talked about the fifth chapter, he said, it's a time when you need to be teaching others. You need to be taught the beggarly and weaker things of the gospel. You can't eat meat. You need to eat, drink milk. You need to be burped. Amen. You need to come to church and let the pastor burp you. The pastor can't give you meat because your feelings will be hurt. Amen. You're a babe in Christ, but yet you've been in Christ since Moses was a corporal, amen? Praise God. But man, guess what? Guess what? It's time for us to grow up, amen? It's time for us to operate by faith, amen? Praise God. It's time for us to know who we are in Christ, praise God. It's time for us to walk by the word, amen? Praise God. I don't care what we're going through. What we're going through, the answer is in the word, amen? Our deliverance is in the word, amen? So, praise God, it's a miracle in your mouth, praise God. You got to speak the word. You got to speak the word. You got to call those things that be not as though they were. Praise God. I don't care what the devil's bringing on my plate. Guess what? Devil, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by my faith. And my faith said, God, is more than able, praise God. Just like Jesus when he was on the Mount a Configuration and Peter was there, and Peter got all excited because, you know, John the Baptist was there, Elijah was there, and Moses were there, and he said, "Oh Lord, who let us build 3 tabernacles," praise God. He got so emotional. And Jesus only needs one church, but he wants his church to know who they are, amen. He wants us to know who we are in Christ. When we know who we are in Christ, it's almost like Jesus doesn't, the devil doesn't even see us. He sees Jesus, amen. He sees Jesus. See, we gotta speak by faith. We gotta call those things and be as though they were, not as though they are. Now, Abraham, it was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed God. He believed God. He said, I'm almost 100 years old. But guess what? My name is the father of men. That's what Abraham meant, amen? And they looked at the old man and said, he must be one that short of a fool. You know, the elevator don't go to the top. I'll put it like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They must have said, you know, they said something. They looked at him weird. What do you mean you're the father of many nations? You ain't got no child. And then the child that you had, you had to help God, Ishmael. That ain't the God of promise. Praise God. But you don't have no natural child. What do you mean you're the father of many nations? Well, God told him that. He imitated his father. He said, I'm the father of many nations. When he looked at the sand on the sea, he said, these are my descendants. When he looked at the stars at night, these are my descendants. Guess what? Every one of you here that are followers of Jesus Christ, guess what? You're the promise of that God made to Abraham fulfilled. You are spiritual Jews. Amen? So every person that gets born into the kingdom, Father Abraham, you're his children. Amen? So God is yet fulfilling his promise to Abraham. Amen? So praise God. The just shall live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. If you say you have faith and no works, James say, it's dead. If you say you got faith, you got to step up on faith. Guess what? I don't care what you want for God, You know what you got to do? You got to make the vision plain. You got to write it down. Get some sweat equity in there. Whatever you want from God, write down some scriptures from the Word of God. But that's, God only responds to His Word. He didn't respond to your pain. He didn't respond to your tears. He responds to His Word. Now, if you're a baby Christian just got born yesterday, you can cry and He would burp you and listen to your prayer. But guess what? You're not a baby Christian anymore. You can't call a pastor up at 3 o'clock in the morning and wake them up and him and her up and say, pray for me, Pastor. The devil's running after me. No. The devil's supposed to be, guess what? The devil's supposed to be running away from you. When the devil sees you, he's gonna go to Walmart and buy all the Excedrin they got on this shelf because he needs them. He know he got a bad headache day because you come in and you know who you are in Christ. Amen. So guess what? The Bible says these signs follow them that believe. So guess what? Believers nowadays, they're following after signs. Well, here's Prophet Bobo coming to town. So I'm gonna go Prophet Bobo lay a hand on him. Guess what? We're supposed to be laying on ourselves. We're supposed to be laying hands on the sick. Amen. But we gotta wait until the prophet come. Praise God. But guess what? You are a prophet. You are a king. You are a priest. Lay hands on yourself. Amen. Get delivered. Get set free. Amen. Praise God. But it's in the Word. You gotta know who you are in Christ. Amen. So you write these scriptures down. Write these scriptures down and put them before you. When you wake up in the morning, God, I thank you by your stripes. I'm healed. I take Jesus into my healer. Praise God. I'm healed. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what my body tells me. Over 2,000 years ago, I was healed. In the minds of God, I am healed. Praise God. I don't care what afflictions on me, praise God. And I keep quoting the scriptures that tell me, promise me that the healing. If it's finances, I don't care what my bank account looks like. It could be negative zero, praise God. But guess what? That's a lying vanity, praise God. God is Jehovah Rapha, amen. He's my provider. He's more than enough. He is more, he's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. What do I need? Amen. God has more than a million ways to bring finances to me. Amen. Praise God. And quit depending on somebody else. God can speak to somebody and say, go see Sister Sally and go do this and they obey God. Amen. He has more than a million ways to get finances to you. All he wants you to do is have faith in him. Now guess what? Kenneth Copeland. He was younger, a lot younger than he is today. And John and Kelly, they were his daughter and his son. And John is the CEO of the ministry right now. They were little kids. He was like 2 years old or something. And Kelly was older. And they say, Daddy, we need you to get a boat. Because see, you're so enthralled in the ministry and stuff that every time you even come back to work, you know, come back from off the road and everything, we don't have no time with you. So, Daddy, we need to have a boat where we can get you out on the water where nobody can disturb you and we can have yourself with you and we can do a lot of things on the boat. And so he said, well, that's good, children. But he said, look, you're going to have to use your own faith. You're not going to have to use your own faith to get it. So you know what they did? They got a piece of paper, and John couldn't even write, so Kelly did the writing. They made some promises on the paper why they needed a boat for their daddy so the family can be together and have private time. And they wrote all the reasons why they deserved a boat. They put it on the refrigerator. Every time they went by to get some food, they would pat that note and say, thank you, God, for that boat. Thank you. Hallelujah. And you know what? They kept saying it. Within 10 days, they got a call. Two calls. One person say, I got a boat, and the Lord put it on my heart to just bless you with it. And then the second call, I got a boat, and the Lord, you know, told me to give this to you. No strings attached. So they had two boats. So Kenneth Copeland went to the Lord and said, Lord, my children only prayed for a boat. Why did they get two? And the Lord said, go back and read that note on the refrigerator. And he read the note, and he said, with all they want you to do in that boat, one boat's not going to be enough. You need two boats. But they did it by faith, amen? They did it by faith. They did it by faith. So everything that we get from God is going to come by faith. Everything that we get. You know what? Josh did, you know, he does bodybuilding and stuff like that. He plays football and everything like that, and I still can take him, though, you know. Hey, don't try me now. Hey, I'm a trained killer. I was in the military now. I'll help you down and out, and you won't even know what hit you. Don't let me revert back to my military days now. But anyway, Josh is a bodybuilder. Everything, and he can bench press probably my whole weight and everything, praise God. But guess what? I remember when I was in the military, and I was going to the gym, and I started trying to bench press, and I saw what other people were bench pressing. So I got in there and tried to bench press, I say maybe about 160 pounds. And when I did, I said, oh, my goodness. You know, Fred Sampson said, Elizabeth, it's a big one. I'm coming to you, baby, Fred Sampson. I felt like that. But what I did, I started with 100 pounds. And I lift that. Then I went back to the gym, and then I added another 10 pounds. And then after about 6 months of lift, I could bench press 160 pounds without even hardly breaking a sweat. But see, it's through exercise and use that I was able to build my muscles up. If you have muscles and you don't use them, atrophy comes. In other words, if you don't use your muscles, I guarantee you tape your arm to the side and don't use it for 6 months and then take the tape off, you won't hardly be able to lift that arm up. It'd be so weak. So you got to use your muscles. If you don't use it, you lose it. Come on. No pain, no gain. Amen. Use it or lose it. Amen. So guess what? The same way with faith. If we don't use our faith, we're not going to be able to use it. We'll be babes in Christ, spiritually immature. Sure, we'll go to heaven, sucking our pacifier, you know. But praise God, God don't want us sucking our pacifier. Jesus said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. A church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. And guess what? How can you be that glorious church if you don't know who you are in Christ? Amen? We're supposed to do mighty exploits in his name. Jesus said in John, the 4th chapter, the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, he said, it's expedient that I go away, boys, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But he said, you're going to do greater works than I did. Greater works than I did. How are we going to do it? We got to know who we are in Christ. Amen? So what do we need from God? Write the scriptures down, put some sweat equity in it, and then every time the accuser brother come and say, well, you ain't got it, sure, Sister Beverly got it because, you know, she got greater faith than you, but it, you don't have her faith, so it's not happening for you. Guess what? I'll say, devil, it is written. And then I speak the word. I speak the word, amen. And guess what? The angels that have been assigned to us who are heirs of salvation, they hearken unto the voice of the Lord. When we speak in the word of God, the angels say, oh, that's an heir of salvation I've been assigned to. Speaking the word of God, I'm going to make it so. Praise God. So the forces of darkness can't stand against you when you know who you are in Christ and you speak the word of God. That's how it happens. Anything we get from God, it's in the spirit world already. But how do we pull it down from heaven? By faith, by speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. I don't care what circumstances say, we don't let anything contrary to the word of God come out of our mouth. David said, I put a guard over my mouth that I might not speak against you. When Jesus was supposed to come in the world, his father, you know, didn't believe Zachariah, you know, John the Baptist, didn't believe that they could have a child in their old age. So guess what? God put a guard over his mouth. He couldn't speak. He couldn't speak because he would have messed it up if he had said something. So Jesus had to be coming to earth, but it had to be authorized by the prophet speaking the word of God. In the fullness of time, Jesus came in the earth on the appointed day. So guess what? Mary cooperated in Jesus coming in earth. She said, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. I believe it. So Mary cooperated in Jesus coming into the earth. You know, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus was going to come. Many prophets prophesied Jesus was going to come. But what happened? The prophets had to prophesy on the earth. He had to speak it. And then in the fullness of time, Jesus came into earth. So guess what? Your miracle is in your mouth. Your miracle is in your mouth. You got to release it out. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? You know what? Many people's angels are on vacation in the Bahamas. They're at Denmark. Guess what? Because the believers they're assigned to ain't saying nothing to give them no work to do. So they're on vacation. They're at the spa. They're at Hasen Dahl's eating the ice cream. Praise God. No, you need to give the angels something to do. But they hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Amen. Don't you know your angels get happy when they have something to do? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, so praise God. So we got to give them something to do, and it comes through the avenue of the word. So through exercise of use, we are able to discern between good and evil. You know what? A lot of Christians today, they wouldn't know good if it hit them with a 10-foot pole. They call, just like the world, they call things good, bad, and bad, good. It's all twisted up. The world, even the church, they're saying, well, it's okay. You know, God loves everybody. You know, it's okay if they shack up, and it's okay if they fornicate. It's okay if they have same-sex relationships. And it's okay. God loves everybody. You know what? That's not the word said. God loves us. God loves everybody, but he does not love our sin. Sin is sin. Now, guess what? We've been talking about the love of God. And guess what? When me and Abraham, we go pray for the sick, you know who we go pray for? You know who are most receptive to our prayers? You know the people that reject us most of the time? Religious folks. Religious folks. But our outranked sinner. We pray for atheists. We pray for Buddhists. We pray for Jehovah's Witnesses. But guess what? We don't tell them that we're Christians. Guess what? The Bible says, if you want to win souls, you got to be wise. Now, you know what? Signs and miracles were made not for the believer. Not made for us. They were made for the unbeliever, that they might know that God is alive. Now, guess what? If I walked up to a Muslim and wanted to debate whether the Quran was the right book or my King James version of the Bible was the right book, okay, we'd have an argument. We'd never come to agreement. But I come to a Muslim, don't even tell him I'm a Christian. I say, I see him walking with a cane or with a crush or something. I know he got some kind of ailment or he wouldn't be walking with a cane. I walk him in and I say, are you in any pain? And he says, yes. And when he gets delivered from that pain, we don't have an argument anymore. Once he knows that he's been healed, guess what? I have access into his life. Do you know who healed you? Jesus Christ. And before, he would run away from me and beat me over the head with his Quran or whatever if he had it. But I lose him. But guess what? I didn't ever tell him I was a Christian. I just prayed for the pain go away. And now I got access into his life. There's no argument whose God is the real God. And so what happened is I can speak into his life. So I pray for people that don't need God for a goose. But guess what? God heals them. You know what God heals them? Because signs are made for unbelievers, not for the believers. Praise God. We got it. Everything we need from God, we got to get about faith. Amen. They don't know God like we know him. Praise God. But the God will heal somebody. And a lot of Christians say, well, God's not going to heal you until you repent. God's not going to heal you until you get saved. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You won't find that in the Bible. You'll find it in religious tradition. Praise God. A woman pregnant with wedlock. Of course her stomach out, and you know she don't have a husband, so you're going to call her a sinner, and you can't pray with her. You can't touch her because the sin might get on you. No. You lying. You backbiting. As soon as church get over, you go praying, gossiping about what happened to Sister Sally. That's a sin. But your holy sanctified self. But guess what? You want to judge this woman because you can see her belly, and you know she's having a baby out of wedlock. But guess what? You whitewashed sepulcher. That's what Jesus called her. You viper, den of vipers. That's what Jesus called those religious folks that didn't have love for people. Jesus will always love the unforgiving, the undeserving, the unthankful, the ones that don't know him. Jesus will always go for it. In fact, John 3:16, we can quote it, but it doesn't stop there. John 3:17 says Jesus didn't come in the world to condemn the world. So he never condemns people that don't know him. He's always hoping that they'll have an opportunity to come to him. Guess what? We Christians, we're containers of God's love. How can we say we love God, but this sinner that don't measure up to or don't smell as good as we are, we're not going to go over to him because he don't measure up to us. Have you forgot who you were? Have you forgot the price that God paid for you? Praise God. So how can you not have compassion on the lost? So I'm not saying don't have compassion on the lost. God will always love the lost, but I'm saying this. What you need from God, you got to get by faith. You have to get it by faith. So you can't, guess what? I can see a devil coming 3 miles down the road. Because I know what he looks like. I know what he talks like. And I know that I know his agenda to steal, kill, and destroy. If it looked like destruction, if it looked like it's going to hurt somebody, oh, that's the devil. I don't have to prophesy. I don't have to fast and pray to get a word from the Lord on that. That's you, devil. So guess what? When the devil tried to tell me to do something that's ugly, that's not lovely, that's not a good report, guess what? I do the opposite. Oh, devil, I don't need my degree and I don't need my turned back collar and all that stuff to know when the devil's coming. That's easy. If it doesn't edify somebody and build them up, that's the devil. That's demonic. So guess what? People may have done me wrong on my job, but how do I treat the people? I love them. I love them. Because they cannot give us, Beverly, can they give us, Sister Regina, can they give us what they don't have? They can't give us. So why are we expecting them to give us something that they don't even have? They've been tormented. They've been beat up all their life. So we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. All we got to do is love on them. We got to love on them. We'll love them into the kingdom. Give them what they don't deserve. They'll come to us just like Nicodemus did to Jesus by night when he thought nobody was looking. When they have a crisis, they're gonna beat the pathway to your cubicle. Will you pray for me, sister? Praise God. But yet they don't believe the servant of God you serve, but they know you serve. They know you got a direct line to heaven. They're going to ask you to pray for them. Amen. They ain't think about God. But when a crisis comes, they come to you. Amen. So guess what? Be the church. Love them. Love them. Love them into the kingdom. Give them what they don't deserve. Give them what they don't deserve. You know what? On my job, it's been a lot of people stab me in the back. And if I take this coat off and the shirt, you see the stab wounds. Well, guess what? I don't even have to fight. I have people in the call center that do my fighting for me. God is the vindicator and lifter of my head. Praise God. I don't have to lift a finger, but God fights for me. And it's so much gooder to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Daddy, you're more than enough. Nothing too hard for you. Thank you for the peace that passed all understanding. Thank you, Father. And see, so God wants us to have faith in Him. But see, things that we need in life, let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans. I had a whole lot of scripture, but this is just rolling out of me. This is from my heart. This is from my heart. I wrote the message right here. But I'm speaking from my heart. It's in my heart, amen. Now Romans 10 and 17. Let's talk about what faith is. Faith is the basics. Faith is the basis of our salvation, amen. By faith we were saved through Jesus Christ, amen. So Romans 10:17. I'm doing good on time. I'm doing good on time. Can y'all give me about another 5 or 10 minutes? Amen. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Amen. Okay, Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. What is the message? It's the word of God. The message is heard through the word of Christ. So faith comes by hearing and having heard. Now, I read God's word yesterday. I ate God's word. I meditated on God's word. You know what God told Joshua? He said, fear not. My servant Moses is dead. You're going to be taken over for me. But Moses said, Lord, I don't want to go unless you go with me. He said, Joshua, yeah, boy, come here. Let me tell you something. Joshua 1:8. He said, meditate on the word both day and night. Why? That you may have good success. So in other words, he said, you're going to have success by meditating on the word both day and night. In the daytime, at nighttime, while you're sleeping. You know what I do? Thank God for modern technology. I have a smartphone. You know what I do with that smartphone? I put my earbuds on or either a headset, and I put preaching on, and I go to sleep with preaching on. It rocked me to sleep. Guess what? But guess what? Even though my natural man sleeps, my spirit man doesn't sleep. My spirit man doesn't sleep. Now, my daddy told me something, and when he told me, I said, okay, daddy, praise God. Yeah, but he told me that his grandma told me, he said, now, boy, you got that test tomorrow for school. What I want you to do is put your school books under your pillow and go to sleep. He said, and he believed his grandma. Grandma told him. So when we went to school the next morning, he just whizzed through that test. Because he believed that the grandma said he put the books on. Guess what? According to your faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. So guess what? He basically aced the test. Because his grandma, he had studied already, right? But his grandma said, boy, put them books under the bed, on your pillow, and go to sleep. And he did it. And he believed, he had faith in them. Amen? According to your faith. According to your faith. You know, scientists have proven that doctors take medicine that's supposed to cure you of any ailment. Let's say an ailment. So what they take a test study and they separate the people. One, they give the real medicine. Now, if you look at the medicines that doctors give you nowadays, look in the commercials at all the side effects. I've been looking at the side effect. I say, Lord, I'll take my chance with you. It'll kill you. The side effects will kill you. Oh, praise God. But they took case studies. They did give them the real medicine. They gave the other people placebo. So this was a sugar pill. Both groups think that they're going to get the medicine and it's going to heal them. The people with the sugar tablet, guess what? They get healed. They get healed. There's no healing properties in that sugar pill. But they get healed. You know why? Because they believe, according to your faith, be it unto you. They believe that pill is going to heal them. When we believe in God's word, guess what? It's not mind over matter, but it's like the healing virtue comes through in its power. When people get healed through the laying of hands and stuff, they'll say, well, what do you feel? A lot of times, even if you don't feel nothing, you feel, they say, the area that you're praying for feels warm. I feel electricity. Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood. Now, I know Sister Beverly didn't know about it. It's on our website. She preached a sermon it's on the website. She preached a sermon on the woman with the issue of blood, and she gave an illustration that I've never seen. But Jesus knew that somebody had touched her. His disciples said, well, what do you mean, Lord? Who you mean who touched you? A crowd's all around you. He said, oh, no. Everybody's connected with me and everything because there's a crowd. But this, she made a connection. She made a deposit on the faith of me. She drew something out of me. Jesus knew that electricity came out of him. The power of God was pulled out. He knew she made a demand on the anointing that's in him. So a lot of times when it's a transfer of the anointing of God that's in you goes into another person. When you pray for the sick, that's what happens. That's what happens. It's got to be an element of faith. Got to be an element of faith. You know what? If you got to have people's permission to pray, because if you don't pray for them and they don't believe it and they block it, the anointing's not going to go into them because they don't believe it. But if they give you an opportunity to pray for them, then the power of God's going to come from out of your body into them. And so what happens is that's why you got to get their permission. You know what? God won't even violate another person's will. So why do we think that we can violate another person's will? We can't. If a person don't want God, don't want Jesus, we can't beat them over the head with a cast iron frying pan. Now that cast iron, that's pretty heavy. I mean, you do some damage, but that ain't gonna make them want to know Jesus. Okay? So you gotta be authorized by that person to be able to speak into their life. So faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Faith come by hearing and watching. I love Lucy. No. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Okay. Galatians 5 and 6. Galatians 5 and 6. And this will be the last scripture because I know I'm out of time. Galatians 5 and 6. This is important, right? Because our faith, you know, our faith won't work without love. James. Oh, yeah. Now, D, we tolerated that version now. Now, I was saved in the Church of God in Christ. A lot of the old elders in the Church of God in Christ, if you wouldn't preach them in the King James Bible, they question whether you might not be saved, okay? Well, praise God. You know, some people believe that the King James Version was the Bible that Jesus preached from. So if you wouldn't preach it from the King James, you wouldn't preach it from the Word, okay? But, I cut my teeth on the King Jimmy. So, will you just appease me, D? I know the Amplified Bibles are still good. I know the NIV is still good. I know the Life Bible is still good. The Amplified Bible. What is that Bible there, baby? The Answer Bible. All of those are good. Bible says, with all I get and get understanding, right? So guess what? If you need to read the Answer Bible to understand it, praise God. Read the Answer Bible, okay? But I cut my teeth on King James, Jimmy, the proaotic language. And when I hear it from the King James, it's power. If I cut my teeth on it, amen. But this is just as much power in the Answer Bible as it is in the King James. It's just my preference. Now, you got the real word? Okay. Galatians 5 and 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumstances develop anything nor uncircumcised. In other words, the Jews had all those rules they had to do. You got to be circumcised and all this other stuff. They tried to put it on the Gentiles. I'm a Gentile. Thank God that I was engrafted in. Amen. I'm a spiritual Jew. But guess what? The faith working by love. Now, we've been talking about the last 3 weeks about the importance of love. Amen. Your faith will not work without love. And that's why I was saying that you gotta have the compassion of Jesus when you meet people that don't measure up to the world's society's standards, anything. But woe be unto you if you're going to be the judge. For the same measure that you met is going to be measured unto you. So if you got your nose up in the air, or I'm a Christian, I've been saved for 20 years, hallelujah. I don't let no contamination go. They don't smell good. They don't look good. Oh, you know what? Some churches, somebody that's not dressed good and everything, they'll put them in the back. They won't put them to the front. They'll put them in the back. When Jesus sees that, you know, he's grieved. There's a radical guy by the name of Todd White. Now, this brother's a European American, but he got dreadlocks and everything. Has a powerful healing ministry. But he's been the guest speaker at these churches. But his custom is always to go, when he comes to the church, he'll sit in the back. Some of the members, when they see him sitting in the back with his dress and everything and casual dress and everything, you know what that do? And then guess what? The same people that pray for him when the pastor called him up to speak, their jaw drops. He's the guest speaker. So you can't look by a cover. You know what? Bible said, be careful how you entertain strangers. A lot of times you entertain angels, unbeknown. So God sees your faith. You know what? I had unbelief and fear when I talked to this guy by the name of Anthony. I didn't want to pray for him. What if nothing happens? But guess what? God reminded me, you're a dead man. You're not doing the healing. So guess what? I went on to bathe my daddy. But you know what? God did that. You know why God did that? Because I stepped out on faith. I did what his word said the believers should do. He didn't say the Pope. He didn't say Bishop McLaughlin. And I thank God for Bishop Ron McLaughlin. I thank him for his ministry. He didn't say Bishop Eddie Long. He didn't say Bishop T.D. Jakes. No, he said believers. Believers. If you were born again 2 days ago, if you know who you are in Christ, you know you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you got to know who you are in Christ. So believers. So I stepped up. I put my reputation aside and God showed up. Now he did that just to bless me because he knew it delighted me that he did that. But guess what? When I left that grocery store, I got to get victory in my own life. By faith in God's word. By faith in God's word. Things are going to come and try to attack me. But guess what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And guess what? So we got to do it by faith. Hebrews 11 and 1, we know it says faith. Now faith is. Now faith. Faith is now. But Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? So guess what? If you want to please your daddy, you got to operate by faith. Amen? James 2 and 17. And this will be the last scripture. You know what? I want to keep continuing, but I'm going to be mindful. I heard this preacher that he went to Bible school. And he was from a little old town, a little country town and everything. All other people came from big cities. So way before they graduated, they had their assignments to go preach and stuff in the big city stuff. But this boy was from a country old town. He waited and waited and never got an invitation. And finally, about 2 days before graduation, there was a little old farming down and said, well, our preacher died, so we need a preacher. Would you come and be our pastor? So he accepted the invitation. So he said to himself, he said, now, and it was during harvest time. So guess what? What farmers do during harvest time? They're out in the field harvesting the crop. So there was a rich guy there. He had enough money where he didn't want the preacher when he first Sunday to go and see an empty church. So he came and he sat and listened to the preacher. So he told God, he said, God, now I'm going to preach like it was 1,000 in that church. And it was a small church, probably sit about 200. But he said, I'm going to preach like it was 1,000. And so he was spitting, like flapping his arms like a windmill, just preaching. Hour, he was just preaching. Finally, after about 2 hours, he quit preaching, and then he went out and talked to the older man that was rich and everything. He said, how do you think I did? Because I wanted to preach. I wanted to give it 100%. He said, well, young fella, I said it like this. You know, I got my barn out there, and it's full of hay, and I got the horses out there in the fields. Now, when I get ready to feed the horses, I don't empty the barn or all the hay and feed them at one time. What I do, I just take one bale and give them a little bit each time. So anyway, he said, that's what I think about that. So in other words, he would tell them, don't give them all at one time. It's going to be another Sunday where you can preach. So I don't want to be like that guy, okay? But this will be my last scripture. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So James said, faith without works is dead, right? So if you say you believe God and you don't have no faith behind it, then guess what? You don't really have faith. It's head knowledge. It doesn't become, you know the difference between logos and rhemos? Logos is a written word. You can read from the Bible and everything. You could quote it. You memorize it. But it's not down here in your spirit. It's not down here in your spirit. You know when it comes down to your spirit? When God speaks to you through that word, it becomes rhema to you. Rhema means it's the word of God, and it's right now for a specific time, specific incidents. That's when it becomes rhema to you. And in fact, it's so real to you that I don't care if the devil himself came down and said it wasn't true. We say, devil, go on about your business. God told me this, and I know it's true. I don't care if your best friend came and told you it ain't going to happen. Oh, you know that you know that you know that you know that God spoke to you, and come hell or high water, you're going to hang on to that word until it manifests. Amen? That's when it becomes rhema. Amen? That's when it becomes rhema. So it has to be rhema to us. Then we have to act upon the word. Amen? So praise God. That's I'm not finished, but I'm through. Amen?